The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Back another day is here, and we are ready to go with a lot of information, a lot of recap, and thank you so much for making time for us. Let's not waste any time. Get to some headlines. And you've heard about 9 lives or 6 degrees of separation. How about the 9 lives of Kevin Steele and what Nick Saban can get from number 9? Chase Goodbread has written the latest in the Tuscaloosa News. We will talk to Mr. Goodbread later on. So what about the offensive side? What will Tommy Rees bring to Nick Saban? We'll get an analysis of that by Pete Sampson a little bit later on. And if you're an Alabama fan, you may be encouraged to hear what he has to say. Outside the SEC, Dabo is sad. Aww. That Clemson fans' lack of recent enthusiasm. Well, hey, Dabo. Don't get trucked by. Let me read it. I'm sorry. I was about to jump ahead to something. I mean, we've won 3 national titles in 127 years. The problem is we won 2 and 7. So sometimes that creates a loss of perspective. And I think when you lose perspective, you lose your joy. That's what made Clemson unique and special. This place has always had a lot of fun. Well, Dabo, don't get whipped at home to South Carolina, a double-digit underdog. And then don't get eviscerated by the Tennessee Vols without their starting quarterback. That's why your fans are down on you, Dabo. And also you fired, who did he fire? His offensive coordinator? Yep. He fired everybody. Dabo, it's on you, pal. Don't give us this sad sack. Let's move on. Nothing. Another sad offense, Iowa. Yeah, Brian Ferentz, the son of the coach, always love it when there's a son of a coach somewhere. He's having some difficulties with his contract. Let's talk about coaches in strange places with Brandon Marcello. Always great to see Brandon. Brandon, thanks so much. I don't even know where to begin here. There's so much happening. Let's start at Alabama. That's where most of the conversation has been recently. Most opinions are good about the two, but there are some. We even had an Alabama fan yesterday, legend, who was none too thrilled to see Kevin Steele back in the house. So what do you think of what Nick Saban has done here of late? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I just don't think you can question Nick Saban all that much with a very critical eye when, you know, he's the greatest of all time and he's made some amazing hires. I would say that maybe you could argue that Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, maybe hung around a year or two too long. Maybe the same with Bill O'Brien. I do think there's an argument to be made there that you had maybe the two best players Nick Saban has ever coached on the team at the same time in Will Anderson and in Bryce Young, and you didn't win a national championship. And so you start looking around at issues there, and I think you could look at the coordinator, especially on defense this past season, despite it still being a top 10 defense. There were areas they could improve. But I like these two hires, especially talking to coaches who have gone against Tommy Rees, the OC from Notre Dame. Young guy, obviously. He's going to be the youngest guy in that room. But I've talked to head coaches, assistant coaches who've had a scheme against him this past season. And the number one thing that keeps coming back to me is the in-game adjustments and the way he schemes these guys open for Notre Dame offensively. That Notre Dame offense was not entirely explosive at the beginning of the year, but they got better as the season went along, and they got better in some games down the stretch too, obviously here most recently in beating South Carolina in a shootout there. So Nick Saban obviously saw some things, some new things he could add to his offense, and more in particular here, I think if you love the tight end, Alabama, you're going to be throwing the ball maybe a little bit more to the tight end starting up this season. And listen, we all know kind of what to expect from Kevin Steele. He took an Auburn defense previously that was kind of down the dumps, rebuilt it one through the recruiting trail and building a good staff there, and then developing those guys, especially in the defensive front. He goes to Alabama where he's not going to have to really worry about building things up from the ground up. He's already got the type of talent there you need to be successful. He's obviously very familiar with Nick Saban. And I think this move makes sense a lot for Kevin Steele because he's nearing retirement and he wants to win a national championship. And to him, he felt like that was going to happen sooner rather than later at Alabama compared to the situation he left at Miami.
Well, that's where I want to go next because Mario Cristobal has moved quickly to replace Kevin Steele. And I know you and others have been wondering if he's not better off with bringing in new people than what he currently had. He fired Josh Gattis, and obviously Kevin Steele bows out on him.
Yeah, I really like this hire, Lance Guidry, coming from Tulane, who was only there since January 17th and was at Marshall previously. That defense at Marshall was tremendous this year. And talking about Notre Dame, you went up against Tommy Reese's offense, and they upset Notre Dame on the road this past season. And that defense at Marshall was in the top 20 nationally in 15 categories. They were number two in stop rate, number one in third down defense. This is a guy who knows how to scheme guys. And more importantly, he can create havoc. He can create pressure by only bringing four pass rushers, which is something you've got to do more often these days, obviously going against these passing attacks. Loves to use five DBs quite a bit. He's going to fit in very, very well at Miami in doing that. He's got some really good pieces to work with there. And more importantly, he's going to get some time to develop these players. Also, Miami needed someone to come in with a little bit more enthusiasm, a little bit more fire on the recruiting trail. I think they've got that in Lance. He's a guy who flashes bravado and is big into that. I think he's going to fit in very well with Mario Cristobal there. Mario, obviously a guy who's very meticulous and almost too demanding of his coaches when it comes to just the interview process. This is a guy that'll sit down for hours with you and talk football, trying to figure out if you're the right guy for the job, asking all kinds of questions. And Lance checked all those boxes and is very familiar with the Southeast region, a Louisiana native, has coached a lot of spots, and has been successful at every single job he has held, whether as a coordinator, a position coach, or even as a head coach when he was previously at McNeese State, his alma mater.
Hope he was only renting in New Orleans as opposed to buying after only having been there but for 5 weeks. Brandon, let me talk about a couple of coaching staffs that have seen some repositioning. We mentioned Dabo Swinney a few minutes ago. He may have gotten, I'll let you tell, the one of the biggest and splash hires of the offseason, bringing in Garrett Riley. What about what he has done in trying to repurpose his program?
Well, I was very impressed and shocked that he fired Brandon Streeter as offensive coordinator after only 1 year. He's one of his guys, and as we've seen from Dabo, and I've questioned him myself on this program and in columns I've written over the last 3 years, when is he going to go outside his comfort zone and stop promoting from within and keep it in the family? Well, he did that this offseason, and to a credit to him, and he was well prepared for it. He fires Brandon Streeter and has Garrett Riley from TCU in the pocket and ready to go. And remember this, Garrett Riley previously coached at ECU. He's very familiar with the Carolina area, so he can recruit first. Secondly, I think he's one of the top three probably play callers on offense in all of college football. His brother, older brother, Lincoln Riley, the USC head coach, maybe being number one. Garrett's right up there. Garrett is going to be, I think it's very likely, he might be a Power 5 head coach a year from now. If he can get Clemson back in the playoff and we're sitting here saying it's because that offense looks night and day different, Garrett Riley is going to be a head coach this time next year. I think it's the biggest offseason hire among all assistant coaches in all of college football this year.
Which takes me to the one that had the most punchlines, and that was Bobby Petrino at Texas A&M. You can make your jokes, but we know this man has a resume as an offensive play caller that's quite good. What did you make out of what Jimbo Fisher did at A&M?
Well, I think it's a short-term marriage. And I shouldn't even say marriage. It's a short-term relationship. It's a fling. Yeah. It's not going to be a marriage. And to be quite honest, it's going to work. And Jimbo Fisher needs a quick fling right now. He needs a quick swing of this playground of amazing players he's got there to be able to get them going, get them sparked. And Bobby Petrino's that guy. Go ask Nick Saban when Bobby Petrino was previously at Arkansas, especially in those scripted plays with the start of game, those first 7 to 11 plays that coaches script out. Bobby Petrino could scheme against anybody in college football, and he would frustrate Alabama, whether it was on the road or at home early in games with those scripts. Now, later in the game, talent took over, and obviously Alabama would defeat them. But I'm telling you, Bobby Petrino, working with all those special shiny toys there at Texas A&M, I think they're in store for a huge turnaround offensively this year, and then going into 2024 as well, and getting into a championship-type race. And I think they can lean on this offense a little bit more. And this window, listen, we've said over and over again, they had the number one recruiting class ever in 2022. Within 4 years, you got to play for a national championship. That's been the history in all of 24/7 Sports' recruiting rankings. That's what happens. The clock is ticking, and Bobby Petrino, I think, here has a few years to go in there and get them to the college football playoff. And if that doesn't happen, he'll probably go off and do something he shouldn't, or get some people mad and he'll get fired, or he'll leave for another job. But this is not a long-term relationship. This is one to go get in, get us to what where we need to go, which is the college football playoff, and then maybe go off and do your own thing. And who knows, maybe Petrino will get his fifth second chance and become a head coach once again. But I think those days have passed him, and this is going to be fascinating on so many levels for the Aggies. But listen, that offense is going to look so much better next year. I don't guarantee things very often, but I can guarantee it because Petrino turns things around overnight. He did it at Arkansas with much less talent in his first year there, and he is certainly going to be able to do that at A&M with 5- and 4-star guys all over that field.
Before you go, and we're talking to Brandon Marcello, you covered Auburn for many, many years. There's a lot of enthusiasm and optimism coming from Hugh Freeze's group down there. What do you hear, and what do you think they're capable of in year one?
The transfer portal class is amazing. The recruiting has been amazing. But I think the biggest win they've had so far actually just happened the last few days in getting a 4-star quarterback like Walker White, who everybody thought was going to pick Clemson. No one had Auburn really on the radar, and he picked the Tigers. That's the biggest development I've seen so far in an offseason that's been almost nothing but good news for Hugh Freeze and co. there. This is a jumping off point. Walker White, when he committed to Auburn, surprisingly, he started listing the names of all these other players he's going to recruit to Auburn. We're talking about a dozen or more guys. Auburn recruiting, I'm telling you, look out. In this 2024 class, they could potentially be a top 5 team in those recruiting rankings. And as you know, Paul, you get up to that level, all of a sudden you're contending for SEC championships once again. And again, they've done a great job in the portal. You combine that with the recruiting efforts they've got going on right now. Auburn is on that road to recovery and potentially on a championship path within these next 2 or 3 years.
Wow. Big stuff. Brandon Marcello, always great to talk to you. Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate it. Some high praise for Hugh Freeze and Auburn on the way back to a championship run. That will definitely resonate throughout the audience. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls when we come back at 855-242-7285. A long way to go. Busy show. Let's get going.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we've already talked to Brandon. Sapokoff joining us a little bit later on Dabo's unbelievable comments. Pete Sampson on Tommy Reese's hire. And Chase Goodbread on Kevin Steele. And your phone call is beginning right now at 855-242-7285. Give us a ring, and let's start with Trey, in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul. It's been a while.
Well, good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about how many yelling fights Jimbo Fisher and Bobby going to have.
You know, I think you have to understand the personalities here. And they are like they're codependents. They both need each other. Jimbo Fisher needed a lifeline, and Bobby Petrino needed a ticket back to the show. So they need each other, and I think, you know, they'll do what all users do. They'll feed off of each other until they're down to the bare bone. That's when the trouble may start. But I think based on what Brandon said and others, they may have a pretty good year, and then they can figure out what's left.
Yeah, and then I have a couple extra questions.
Okay.
What do you think about Arkansas's new coaching staff that Sam Pittman has gone out? And what do you think about the players that we've got out of the portal? I think we've done pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, Arkansas needed to do well. This is a program that was rolling along, and it hit the iceberg. And to Sam Pittman's credit, he's gone out, gotten some really good coaches there, and I think he's done as well as he can in the portal. Now the question is, can they move ahead? Last year was a setback. They let that A&M game get away, which they never should have done. I mean, if there was ever a year to beat A&M, it was last year. LSU has moved ahead of them. You have to worry about Auburn. So there are a lot of threats in the West right now, and Sam has to be careful. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Dustin in Tulsa, you are on the air.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, brother?
Okay, man.
don't be too enthused.
Well, listen, I want to make sure I know where you're going here before I sanction this call. I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, we'll keep it PG today. We won't attack anybody. We won't make any we won't start any wars. How about that?
Oh, I don't know. We don't mind the attacks.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I don't like AJ from Pelsey.
Well, Dustin, is that unique? Have you found someone who does like him?
I think that's a pretty big club of us. Hey, I wanted to ask you quickly. I'm glad to hear some comments from you on Arkansas, obviously, for the previous caller. Well, real quick, one short question, then the big question here. Did you know Paul Eales, or were you friends with him?
I did. I knew him vaguely. I remember meeting him when I was in school, and I met him a couple of other times. I had a really high opinion of him, as almost everyone mm-hmm. did. But you know, there was a pretty big age differential, but I believe, wasn't he at Vanderbilt at one time too? I think he was.
I'm not certain. He may have been.
Yeah, but I know how beloved he was in that state.
Oh, we still miss him. They still play his calls during the Razorback games. They still play his touchdown Arkansas on the Jumbotron, and the place goes nuts. What I wanted to ask you was, Connor O'Gara had a piece in Saturday Down South today where he kind of compared Rocket Sanders and Quinshon Judkins. And he picked, for the upcoming season, he picked Quinshon Judkins ahead of Rocket Sanders. Now, he wasn't sliding Rocket Sanders, but he said the biggest reason in his article, his reasoning was because Enos is coming in with a scheme where, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, he expects Enos to throw it all around the field. And it's almost like he's forgetting that when Enos was at Arkansas before, that Alex Collins went for almost 1,600 yards in a season. And then the very next year, Raleigh Williams led the SEC with over 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. I just wanted to get your take on Connor O'Gara putting, I mean, it's almost a coin flip, I get it, with Quinshon and Rocket, and I know I'm biased, so I want to put Rocket up there.
Listen, I'm not speaking, because I didn't read Connor's piece, but At this time of the year, you have a bunch of guys like him who are just trying to make statements, and the main purpose is to pass the time until football season begins. But even more than that, Dustin, to get people to react like you do. And I'm not saying I know it. I mean, Connor's good. Listen, we like him a lot, but I'm just.
Yeah, I know.
It's an opinion, and that's all we're talking about here.
All right. Well, yesterday you didn't like my hot take on Auburn going 8-4, maybe 7-5. So let's try this one. KJ Jefferson, preseason Heisman favorite, and he holds throughout the year and ends up in New York.
I would say that's an ice cold take.
Paul, you're hurting my feelings.
Well, but Dustin, let me explain something. You see everything through a very narrow prism of your team. We see it more broadly. What do you think, Randy? You think that take makes any sense?
No.
Randy gave you a big no. I gave you a polite no.
Randy gave me a big no.
Randy pretty much said if you ever call again, he'll come to your house.
All right. Well, tell Randy I'll see him tomorrow.
Okay, Randy.
Tell him to bring it.
Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. You sound a little stuffed up today.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to me. I was feeling great until yesterday, and then guess who came back to work? Randy.
Randy brought it back with him.
Randy was sick a week, and now I'm sick. Well, you think it's contagious,
I
Randy? I know it's too late to ask.
I thought you were sick because you didn't get to see me.
Go ahead, Will.
I got a joke
feel
for
better.
You and Randy.
Yeah.
I heard over the weekend, it's a pretty good one, and if yesterday night a message board genius calls himself a comedian, I'd like to take a stab at it. So you ready
yeah,
for this?
Yeah, listen, it is not my job to critique our guests, but I was expecting him to be funnier than he was.
Zilch.
I suddenly felt like I had taken a friend to the comedy club on Monday night, open mic, and he got up there and bombed. And while I was up there taking him off the stage, I cracked a few jokes that hit.
Yeah.
I mean, I am not supposed to be funnier than the comedian guest because I am not a comedian.
Well, I'll give you one I heard over the weekend.
Okay.
And see what you and Randy think of it.
Okay.
Did you know that diarrhea is hereditary?
Let me try to do it the right way. Did I know that diarrhea is hereditary?
Right. It runs in your genes.
Don't quit your day job.
It runs in your genes.
Yeah, well, Will.
It didn't get better when you repeated it.
Will, let me break this down for you, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
You called up to criticize a guest who you didn't think was funny.
And that's the line.
And you told a joke.
You didn't tell any jokes.
Well, that's true. You do have a more. You at least tried. I mean, by the way, your joke is funny.
I thought it was.
It was funny. But let me explain to you a little bit about humor.
Right.
Comedians, I won't tell you any of my failures as a comedian, but it's not the joke, it's how you tell the joke.
It's the delivery.
Yeah, you can get laughs off of, I mean, some of the greatest comedians in the world have gotten bigger laughs off of jokes bombing than they have off of jokes connecting.
Well, I'm not going to quit my day job, but I thought it was funny.
By the way, what you just said there was funnier than the joke. We'll take a short break. We are coming back with much, much more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we're glad you are as well. I-Man is up next.
Hey, nice little music there in the background. If I'm not mistaken, it's Little Nirvana, I believe. Paul, I tell you, Brandon, is it Marcellus? Is that right?
Marcella.
He's one of your best guests. I tell you, there's a confidence you have when you listen to him. He sounds like he's the most prepared. He's easy to talk to, you and him talking. He's easy to listen to. And there's just a confidence you have listening to him as opposed to some of the blowhards you have on that they're looking for the hot take, you know. But Brandon, he's not that guy. He's just telling you like it is.
Well, he's a real reporter, too. He knows what he's talking about as opposed to reading it off of a message board.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And he's just one of your best guests that you have on. And I think he would do a hell of a job if, one day if you're not in, because you're known to go Johnny Carson on us and not show up on Wednesday.
Yeah, come on. I show up every day that I have to.
Every day you have to, and you was fixing to say, "Well, I haven't done it lately." And
I didn't even take off whatever the last holiday was. I worked that day.
Yeah, oh, I know, yeah. but you have days you fill in, and you're gone. And where's Waldo? Where's Paul?
Well, when I'm gone though, I'm usually somewhere.
Yeah, Nick Saban's house.
Well, I've been known to
close to
breakfast with Miss Terry.
Oh, and occasionally go to Nick Saban's house and the University of Alabama and to Nick Saban's house, maybe even riding his boat.
Yeah, no, by the way, that's coming up soon. I've got an appearance at the Saban house next week. I'll be
I've been ordered home. A lot of the people out here don't realize this. You're not really you're kind of finicky about the things you eat because you watch your health.
Yeah.
But you will suck down a little Debbie just for the sake of
I mean that is not true. I've had my I'm sure you saw the show. It was many years ago. We did a show at Saban's house, and I went into his cookie jar I've told the story too many times. But that did me in for Little Debbie's. I will never eat another one again. It was terrible.
Well, they are pretty stout. And, of course, he gets the big ones. They're not the little ones. They're the
and
big.
Sometimes he eats two.
Listen to you. I mean, that's paying attention there, dude.
I am a board-certified Sabanologist.
Well, I tell you what. That's breaking news. It's one thing to watch a guy eat one, but to know that he ate two, that's paying attention there, Paul.
But
that's
real close observation. He does not eat much, though. The first time I ever had lunch in his office, he had a chef's salad.
He ate a little Debbie.
Well, no, he had
oh,
the...
he ate some lettuce.
No, and by the way, he served me one. And I mean, you could get a better salad like dropping by a convenience store next to a gas station.
Then you can at Nick Saban's office. That's breaking news too. We're talking about the $1 million program, the multi-million dollar band.
I don't live there anymore, so I'm not invited to lunch.
Yeah, and this $1 million program. They probably got $1 million chefs. They got $1 million band that wasn't allowed to show up at a ball game. So you're in the million dollar office eating a $2 salad.
I have had lunch with you more recently than I have with Nick Saban.
That's been a while.
Yeah.
That's been a while. So you just eating with Miss Terry.
Well,
you know, Paul, I noticed your guest, and of course, right off the bat, we're back onto the Saban coach hiring, and how these are great hires, and you got a guest come on.
Yeah,
to do the
by the way, the next guest is even going to say it's a better hire than the last guest.
Oh, absolutely, and he's going to do the offensive coordinator position alone because he's a young man. He's tough to defend. And then you're going to have another guest.
Yeah, I mean,
we
praised your school a minute ago with Mr. Marcello.
Oh, I heard, but he covered a lot of schools.
Well,
but see, that's who Brandon is. He covers a lot of things. You tried to narrow him down, but you did get Nick Saban out there first because he's the one that counts the most. You know, he is the GOAT. He is the GOAT in the neighborhood.
I mean, have you missed? I mean, I realize you're busy this time of the year getting air conditioners ready for the season, but the man has won 7 national championships.
Well, we're not talking – why is Nick Saban gauged on his previous ventures, whereas everybody else is gauged on their current ventures?
It's not like his last one was in 1992. I mean, he did win one a couple of years ago.
There you go. There you go. You're obfuscating.
I'm obfuscating?
I ask you a direct question. How come Nick Saban is given credit for 15 years, but any other coach you're talking about is only given credit for last week? What have you done today? What have you done late?
Well, Saban,
what are you going to do tomorrow?
I mean, Saban's last body of work was 11-2.
Was a failure.
Well, by his standards,
it was
you're
a
right.
failure. But you see, you said it by their standards. It was a failure.
Well,
say it with me, Paul. It was a failure.
It was a failure because, and by the way, he unloaded both coordinators, and both thought they were actually getting jobs on their own. They didn't realize he had fired them.
Oh, see, there you go, filling in the blanks for little Nicholas. Yeah, why do you cover for him so bad? I mean, you know, even the Spanky and our game.
Because I'm man, I love the man. He's my life.
I know you do. He's a good man.
He's a wonderful man. Why is this? Can you help me, Randy?
Okay.
Why is this man on the phone so obsessed with, and so filled with hatred for Nick Saban?
Randy, tell him it's not because I've got hatred. I'm just following the topic. Nick Saban is the topic every single day on this program. If he was talking to a shipbuilder building canoes for the Warrior River, he would ask what Nick Saban thought about it. Now, that's the truth, Paul. I mean, you know, we can't have – there is no conversation that can be had on this program.
I got Saban on my mind.
That's what you got. You got Saban on your mind.
He owns you.
Paul, you are his program. He owns you. You're just program guy. Are you saying
that I'm bought and paid for by Nick Saban?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Paul. Mm-hmm. I mean, Randy, let's have a sidebar here. Is this what the appearance looks like, Randy? I mean, is this what it looks like? Is this the appearance? Is this what we hear every day? I mean, not every day, but every hour there's a reference or two. And if that's not if a reference is enough, by God, we'd get a guess. We'll talk about the offensive coordinator that's only 30 years old, but he's a great mind. He's tough. Then you get a washed-up defensive coordinator. Oh, but he's tough. He was there at 2007.
Hey, that washed-up defensive coordinator was almost your coach.
Yeah, and you know why he was almost the coach? Because of the same thing. He created all that flack with him and Malzahn, and he looked and he wasn't trustworthy enough to have. That's why they went and hired Harsin.
Now, he wasn't trustworthy. He was the only thing Malzahn had going at the end.
Well, he wasn't good enough to get the job. They hired Harsin.
Whoa.
So there must have been a reason. Hold on a second.
I mean, what kind of logic is that? He wasn't good enough because he lost out to Brian Harsin, who is the biggest failure in Auburn football history. That's saying a great deal.
He went in there and created enough dissension amongst the team and with the talking heads that, you know, this should be his team and not Malzahn, to where you couldn't trust the guy.
Well,
for the same reason Brother Oliver didn't get the job at Alabama. There's a little more
to the Oliver situation. I mean, I hate to run. This was such a good call, a great call. But we are heading to a break. Please do not change the channel or the dial. or if you're listening to us after the fact, you're stuck.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Alan is up next. Hey, Alan.
Hi, Paul. First time caller.
Wonderful. Thank you.
My uncle Roger Rutland used to call in when you was on the radio all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And he owned Rutland Souvenirs, big time Alabama fan. And I was wondering, have you got any archives from when you was on the radio that could be pulled up so I could hear his voice again?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a there is a site out there. I think it's called we have nothing to do with it, but somebody a long time ago started archiving, and it may or may not be there. It's called Feinbaum Fan. Is that right? I think it's called Feinbaum Fan. I should know this, but I don't. And try that. I'm pretty sure this guy has a number of old calls there. And for a long time, he kept it. One of the companies I was working for threatened him at one point, so he quit doing it in terms of copyright infringement. But I think there's a reasonable chance you might find it there. If not, let me know, and we may have some other recourse.
Well, I appreciate you, Paul.
Thank you very much. And, appreciate your remembering, sharing your uncle's memory with us. Ted is up next. Hello, Ted.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'd like to tell you how come I-Man has such an agenda against Coach Saban.
Please.
It may take 2 or 3 minutes if you'll bear with me.
Take your time.
Okay. It's a few years back, Coach Saban was speaking at an event in Montgomery. I-Man was standing outside. When Coach Saban was going in, him and his trooper bodyguard was going in to the event. I-Man was trying to get an autograph from Coach Saban. He stuck out his notepad and his crayon, and Coach Saban said, "Coach Saban told him, I'm sorry, I'm running late. I'm speaking at this event today." So Coach Saban then went on in. I-Man dropped his head. Walked back to his service van, his air conditioning service van, sat in it. He says, well, I'm going to wait because I know he'll be out in a couple of hours. And he sat there. And when he finally saw people coming out, he scrounged around for something else to write with. So then he jumped out, waited for Coach Saban to come back out. And when Coach Saban come back out, he stuck his notepad and his colored pencil to Coach Saban. Coach Saban says, I'm sorry, I'm running late. I got to get back to Tuscaloosa. And him and his trooper started walking away to get to the car. I-Man drops his head again, starts mumbling to himself, walks back to his heat and cooling van again, climbs in, starts crying. Coach Saban, on their way to the car, looks at his trooper and says, you see, he upgraded from a crayon to a colored pencil. His trooper said, yeah, Coach, I believe he's an Auburn fan.
Oh, my. That's what happened, huh?
That's how he's Gummy's butt hurt against Alabama and Coach Saban.
Chad, I think you're right. I believe you're broken it right here. You've cracked the I-Man code.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I can't tell you what that means to all of us to finally have that circle unbroken.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Matt.
Look, I want to talk to you about Texas A&M basketball. I know a lot of people on the show think I'm mainly football fan, but that's not technically true. When I was, remember Frank Tony was our coach a long time ago? I loved A&M basketball, and I still do. I remember days with A.C. Law when he shot that three-pointer and broke the hearts of those Longhorn fans. But I want to talk to you about our basketball team first. Do you think they get in the tournament? And if the NCAA passes up, do you think they're full? And I want to talk to you about this football season as well. I think we'll have a really bounce back year. I don't care what the wannabe Arkansas fans say. I got a couple of history questions to ask you. When was the first African-American football player in A&M history and at Baylor? Like, what year was it? And I want to ask Randy something real quick as well.
What's your question for Randy?
Randy, when's the last time TCU played A&M? And I'd love to see you in College Station, Randy, as well, with Paul Feinbaum.
Randy, would you like to go to College Station and see Matt?
I don't know what you got to think on my question.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.